HMH Audio presents How Children Succeed. Grit, Curiosity, and the Hidden Power of Character. Written by Paul Tough. Read by Robert Petkoff.
For Ellington, who prefers books about dump trucks. Introduction. In the summer of 2009, a couple of weeks after my son Ellington was born, I spent the day in a pre-kindergarten classroom in a small town in New Jersey. The two events were unrelated. I was visiting room 140 at the Red Bank Primary School, not to scope out the class as a new parent, but to try to understand it as a journalist. At first glance, the classroom seemed entirely ordinary. The cinder block walls were painted a cheery yellow. An American flag stood next to the whiteboard. Around the room, four-year-olds were happily engaged in the customary diversions of pre-K students, building towers of Legos and driving trucks through sand tables and piecing together jigsaw puzzles. But as the day progressed, I realized that what was going on in room 140 was, in fact, quite unusual, in ways both self-evident and subtle. To begin with, the students were remarkably calm and orderly. There were no tears that day, no meltdowns, no tantrums, no fights. Oddly, though, the teacher, a young dark-haired woman named Ms. Leonardo, didn't seem to be going out of her way to maintain order or even to guide the children's conduct in any overt fashion. There were no admonitions, no gold stars, no timeouts, no "I like the way Kellyanne is paying attention." Indeed, no rewards for good behavior or punishments for bad at all. The students in room 140 were enrolled in a program called Tools of the Mind, a relatively new kindergarten and pre-kindergarten curriculum that was created by two educators in Denver and based on an unorthodox theory of child development. Most early childhood classrooms in the United States today are designed to develop in children a set of specific pre-academic skills, mostly related to deciphering text and manipulating numbers. Tools of the Mind, by contrast, doesn't focus much on reading and math abilities. Instead, all of its interventions are intended to help children learn a different kind of skill: controlling their impulses, staying focused on the task at hand, avoiding distractions and mental traps, managing their emotions, organizing their thoughts. The founders of Tools of the Mind believe that these skills, which they group together under the rubric self-regulation, will do more to lead to positive outcomes for their students in first grade and beyond than the traditional menu of pre-academic skills. Tools of the Mind students are taught a variety of strategies, tricks, and habits that they can deploy to keep their minds on track. They learn to use private speech, talking to themselves as they do a difficult task, like, say, forming the letter W, to help them remember what step comes next. Down, up, down, up. They use mediators, physical objects that remind them how to complete a particular activity. For instance, the two cards, one with a pair of lips and one with an ear, that signify whose turn it is to read aloud in buddy reading and whose turn it is to listen. Every morning, they fill out play plans, forms on which they write or draw descriptions of that day's play. I am going to drive the train. I'm going to take the dollies to the beach. And they spend long hours engaged in mature dramatic play. Extended, complex, make-believe scenarios that the designers of Tools of the Mind believe naturally teach children how to follow rules and regulate impulses. As I watched the kids in room 140, I found myself thinking inevitably about Ellington, the tiny life form cooing and burping and wailing away 30 miles to the north in our studio apartment in Manhattan. I knew I wanted him to have a happy, successful life, I didn't really know what exactly I meant by that, or just what my wife and I were supposed to be doing to help guide him there. I wasn't alone in my confusion. Ellington was born into a particularly anxious moment.